Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
Hey guys, Drew Kirby here with American Hard Enduro. We're back. East Coast swing of the U.S. Hard Enduro Series is about to get fired up next weekend. I'm joined by He was the scoring director. He also puts a race on, but now he's got a new title. Mike Sudas, what is your new title?
Well, I'm still the scoring director for the series, but I assumed the hat of East Regional Director this year for all the East Coast Regionals.
Okay, so what is that in a nutshell? So you're still doing scoring. So for anyone that's been to a U.S. Hard Enduro, Mikey is always at the scoring, usually the one trying to figure out, get all the remote checks put in and get everything lined up. So he's usually pulling his hair out.
Yeah, usually doing everything from the sign up and registration to doing the final last minute scoring and handling everything from protests to getting the results over to the guys giving out awards. So,
all right. So then what's this new title going to add to those responsibilities?
Taking on some of the jobs that Matt Musgrove does with the Premier Series. So just kind of organizing, some of the front end of the event, helping get all the branding where it needs to be and getting the promoters organized and making sure they have all their ducks in a row to put the race on that weekend and make sure everything goes smoothly.
Well, so is Matt still going to be coming to all the premier rounds?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Matt's still coming to all the premier rounds.
Okay. And so, but then you'll kind of be more in charge of those regional rounds on the East Coast, correct? Okay. And then I've heard we've got someone else helping us out. Is that public knowledge going to be hauling some stuff around? Is he officially on board?
Yeah. Gator's going to be coming to all the East rounds, at least. I think he's coming to all the East rounds. I know he's definitely coming to Battle of the Goats to help, and he's going to be bringing the majority of our stuff to the East Coast races.
Okay. All right, cool.
He's going to be helping in that role with me, trying to get all the branding and that stuff set up and make sure everybody's on the same page and all the events go as smooth as possible.
All right. Well, so since we mentioned it, like right off the top, East Coast swing, we did some really cool West Coast races. I was at Grinding Stone. Moab was a couple weeks ago. Were you out there scoring that one before we get into the East? I backed it up.
Yeah. Yeah. This past weekend we were in Moab. Mesa and Joe did an awesome job pulling that race together. They had over 250 riders. It was an absolute blast. They had a really good course, really good progression. All the riders seemed to love it, so it was a great event.
Well, so one question I had, it was at a place called Area BFE. Does the BFE stand what I think it stands for? What I think it stands for?
I'm not sure. I never asked. So
okay, because I assume it's out in the middle of nowhere. So that's kind of what it is. But I was just guessing. All right, so it was the first time they put a race on, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you said the course was good, the feedback. I hadn't talked to Cody. We were going to catch up with him, I think, after Battle of the Goats coming up. And so everyone pretty pleased with it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I heard a single complaint at the finish line when guys coming in. Everybody loved it. They were all smiles. Everybody said the course was great. They had Pro A, harder course, and then the amateurs had some easier splits. So it really spread guys out and gave everybody a good opportunity.
All right. Well, so I was a little surprised at the results, just, you know, watching it from out here. Cody got the win. So no surprise there. But Brandon Petrie coming in second and then Quinn Wenzel third to round out the podium. And I guess the biggest surprise was Cooper getting fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what happened to Cooper, but I know Quinn and Brandon, they had great days. I mean, they were really pushing hard and really putting a lot of work in.
Well, and that's what I talked to Josh Shecker. He called me when he was driving back to Idaho. And I said, man, I'm proud of Brandon. At Grinding Stone, he was pushing throughout that whole main event. The whole 2 hours, it seemed like some of the guys were just head down surviving. And he looked like he was still charging. So I'm not surprised he's moving on up some.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's having a really good year.
Yeah, he's got the body for it. He's got that tall, lanky. So, all right. So coming up, we've got one of my favorite races. I wasn't able to race it last year. Unfortunately, I can't race it again this year, but I'll be there. Battle of the Goats, Brushy Mountain Motorsports. What have you heard? I guess you're going to be there, obviously.
Yeah, I'll be there. Race. It's going to kick off our East Coast swing, first premier round in the East. Tyler's got a great plan. He's got prologue on Saturday, two different races, one pro and A, one amateur. Those races are going to be two laps, and then everybody transfers to Sunday. Races is just going to set up the start order. I think he's starting four or five riders a row like they did last year.
Okay.
Because that starting area is kind of tight.
Yes.
So that's going to add some weight to those Saturday races, and that's going to determine your start order.
Oh, well, that'll be cool. And so then by the way I understand it, that Pro A race, somebody couldn't come from the amateur or the BC race, have a really good run and move up through there since it's two different courses. Or is that
correct?
Because I remember we had some issues with that, I think, before. Some people were like, it was two totally different courses. You can't intermingle them based on that.
Yeah, and that's actually what we just did in Moab. So they're split. So all the pros and A's are the first block of start orders, and then all the amateurs are the second block.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, that'll be good. And hopefully that'll thin out some of the traffic. I know, again, I didn't race it last year, but, man, I heard some of the bottlenecks, even on the qualifier, were still pretty bad.
Yeah, and I know Tyler's been working hard trying to open some lines up and alleviate some of those bottlenecks.
Well, and that's what the terrain over there is awesome and unbelievable. But at some points, it's such a narrow valley. There's just one line, unfortunately.
Yep.
So, all right. So, and I'm glad you mentioned this before we hit record, because after Battle of the Goats, May 11th, first time. Wait, no, it's not the first time it's a regional, but it's moved way up in the year. The River Monsters Hard Enduro in Kairos is going to be May 11th.
Yeah, we had a fall round there last year, and Jared really knocked it out of the park with that course, and the facility is amazing. Jared's got a really solid layout. They're going to do two laps.
Oh, wow.
First lap is like 20-plus miles.
Okay.
And then second lap, I believe, is 16 or 18. But second lap is going to get significantly harder for the pros, and that's going to be pro and A only, the second lap.
Well, and so we did a Sear GPS race there, maybe 2021, I don't remember. And then the River Monsters course we did last fall was really similar. They'd added maybe two hill climbs to it. Actually, they'd added more than that, but it was pretty much the similar direction layout in that place. If it would have been wet, we would have made half a lap. So I think weather may play a big part, because that place, if you've never been there, Kairos sits up on top of this hill. You come in by the river, go way up on top of the hill, beautiful parking. It's almost as good as the Sugarloaf Locked and Loaded parking. Almost.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. They've got I think they've got some yurts. They've got full hookup campsites. So if you haven't been and you're on the East Coast, definitely go check that out. And I'm even more jealous I'm not going here, and they're going to up the ante a little bit, because they've got the potential to put in as hard of stuff as they want.
Yeah. And that facility is awesome. Jared's been trying to capitalize on that after the fall race. He's been out there checking out new sections and trying to add in some more stuff for the second lap, and definitely try and step up that second lap from the fall race to really challenge those top guys, but still have a really great amateur experience with that first 20 plus mile lap.
Yeah, because it's one of those places where it feels really big. Now, I don't know how big it actually is, but, man, it feels like some of those places, you're just way out there. And, you know, there's one, you're looking down at the river and you take a wrong turn, it's a long way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those little canyons and valleys there are super steep.
So, all right. So then after that is Memorial Day weekend. Is it the Keystone Challenge again this year?
Yep. It's going to be the Keystone Challenge again this year.
Okay, so we've already talked to Robert Moen, Tough Like Roar Trail Boss. So now we're here to talk about, you know, we're taking off your race director score hat. Now we're going to the promoter hat. So
yeah, I got to put my trail boss hat on for this one.
Yeah, so I was making my notes and I wrote down locked and loaded hard enduro. And then I looked and it said hard hair scramble. So is there a difference? Let's go with the name first.
Okay, so we kind of thought about hard scramble going into last year as a way to better represent what the race is, especially in a one-day format. It's hair scramble style start. So all classes, so the full class of pros starts on one row. Full class A's will start on the next row, like a hair scramble. Okay. And then once you actually get out on the course off the start, it's going to progressively build intensity. So the first half of the first lap, totally rideable. Everything's doable for the amateurs. You get about 10 miles of progressively building tougher trail, but it's all rideable. It's all doable. Once you get past that halfway, then it really starts to build intensity. The race course gets a lot harder. And just keeps getting harder almost to the end. Then you get some beautiful, beautiful single track to ride back into the finish line.
Well, what was crazy. So I raced there last year and it was very similar to what you said. In like the first 5 to 10 miles, there were these baby head rocks everywhere. I'm like, if I have to ride this for 25 or 30 miles, well, first of all, I was thinking I'm fine. This is not going to be hard. I'm doing great. You know, other than getting beat up from the baby heads. But then we got to some of the downhills at that place scare me just because that loose rock gets up under you and it kind of rolls your rear end up and you've just got to let it go. Yeah. What's the first like really hard uphill? It's like Tomahawk or.
You get into Mossy Oaks Retirement Home, but you don't actually go into the full scope of Mossy Oaks. You kind of just skirt the outside of it because we didn't want to put that hard of an obstacle early. But as soon as you come around Mossy Oaks, there's a section called Transfer Ascent, which is this like long uphill with a bypass in the middle of it.
Okay, and it was after that, but that was, I remember that coming in because we came in and Josh told us on the starting line, the first big hill, if it's a bottleneck, there's a bailout halfway.
Yep.
So that's, I remember that. Okay. So it's what I'm talking about is after that.
Okay. So then you come across the top of the mountain is Stick Farm. Then you drop back down. Was it after the Enduro Cross? The Enduro Cross is about halfway.
Okay. So we were coming down and I could see people going up right next to us. And it was Colton Weaver was off his bike puking. And we came all the way down Enduro Cross and then went back. And it took me forever to get to where he was. He was way ahead of me.
Okay, so that section after the Enduro Cross, that stairway, that is the first really intense section.
Okay, that was where it was. Because it was, I remember getting back because I was thinking, man, I was just going to go down a little bit, U-turn and back to where he was. And we went, it was pretty cool to go all the way out. And there's a checkpoint right there at the Enduro Cross.
Yep.
And then that, to me, that's when it really got hard. There was a few hard spots. What was the one before that? There was one real hard spot before that where the first big bottleneck was. You kind of went up and around a tree and did a U-turn down and then back up. You guys just shared a video of Ryder and Cody coming through there.
Okay, that was the beginning of stairway. That's like the first little chicane in stairway.
Okay, so I'm thinking is way after all that then.
Okay, so then stairway, you go first hard obstacle stairway. You go all the way up almost to the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And you drop down Rattlesnake. Rattlesnake is the downhill in the middle.
Yep.
And then you hit a little bit of decent trail, and then you enter Tombstone. Tombstone is that last up all the way to the top of the mountain.
So that's where I came down and saw Colton Weaver puking. And then it was pretty quick to get back to where, not pretty quick, but, and that was a long, long. And I remember, I mean, it wasn't horrible. Got up at, you know, dinked and dunked. Sandra Gomez was there. I think she passed me there.
She's and then we started coming back. Rider.
Yeah, she was really good. Her bike kept overheating. She'd stop. We kept filling it up with water. Because there was another checkpoint after you came down and before you went up to Tombstone.
Yes.
So we got up Tombstone, and again, it was hard, probably one of the harder spots for sure.
For sure.
After that, there was a horrible downhill. Like you look down to the river.
That's terminal descent. You get up on top of the mountain and it's just almost a cliff all the way down to the bottom in the interstate.
Well, so I got, there was some random guy like way up there and he was like, man, you're almost done. You're almost out of here. And I was thinking like, this is the last downhill. I'm done with this race. I was not done with the race. I mean, there was a lot more after that. Like that just kind of kicked me right in the gut.
That leads you into the best part of the course.
Well, and I was about to say, when you said some really good single track, it totally flips and you get down into that creek section with all the big, like, I remember ferns, but like beautiful. It almost looked kind of like here in Tennessee a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you, like, you that was where,
like, Tennessee-esque, that like, yep, like trials training facility-esque, yep, like hollow, and it's just ferns and moss covered rocks. And it's always a few degrees cooler down there. It's always humid down there. The rocks start sweating in the summertime.
It was when I got down in there, it was like the only, luckily, I mean, it was, we got incredibly lucky with the weather last year. Beautiful, like what, 70 degrees.
Oh yeah.
But it was super dry. And you even had some stuff in there at that last quarter of the race. Once you got down into there, that if it was wet, I was looking at some of that stuff. There was some real punchy, like 20, 30 feet up off a roadbed, and you had to do these pivot turns. And I'm like, man, if it's wet, that stuff was so loose, it wasn't ridden in real well. If it was wet, it would have been gnarly.
Yeah. The first time I rode that section, it rained probably the 3 days before that. Oof. And there was a group of four of us trying to get up that. And we spent half the day trying to burn a line in to get up to that pivot turn. Cause it was so slimy. You'd get halfway up and you'd slide all the way back to the bottom.
Yeah. And like I said, if memory serves me, it was right off a road, like a logging road.
Yeah.
And you kind of went up.
Yeah, exactly.
Left.
You come down on an access road and then you just make a hard left and up the hill.
And we got up there and I think there's like four more pivot turns above it. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't be making any of these. So who knows? We've had a pretty wet spring down here. I don't know. How are things up there?
It's super wet. But that section's not as bad now because there's a line burned in it. So it's definitely easier now than it was last year initially trying to get up it.
Well, okay. So we pretty much talked about the whole lap. Well, where I was going with that was the only water I think I saw the whole day.
Yeah.
You got down into there, that beautiful creek. I think we crossed it twice. And actually we rode up part of it there. So it was really, like you said, best part of the race course. I hope everyone gets there.
Yeah, exactly. Cause that is, it is the best part. And once you get up that, we call it Council Bluffs, which is those pivot turns up to the top. Once you get to the top, start dropping down, then you hit the creek, you drop into the creek at the mill. There was an old grain mill, used to be in that part of the creek with the water wheel, and you drop in where the old mill was, you cross the creek, and now there's a new section added in there with like three small waterfalls.
Oh,
you have
cool.
to go
okay.
up, so that's going to be absolutely awesome. You get up that, you hit Green Acres, which is that like real loose rock with ferns. It's all moss. You get up that new section right after that called Screwy You. You actually drop all the way back down to the creek, hit the creek again, and go right back up with some really cool pivot turns and work your way back up to the top of that hollow.
Well, and then there was, I remember the final climb out, you were like, we were right on an access road and we came, you know, it was here. We came across it perpendicular and just had to blast up this hill.
Yep.
And that was once we got there.
That's final ascent. That is the last hill climb of the lap. Once you get to the top of that, it's smooth sailing. You got about a mile and a half of like national enduro single track to get you back to the finish line.
Well, I came out and then I came out in the field section, ducked in the woods, came back out in the field section. And I heard somebody and I looked and it was Colton Haker about to lap me. And I stuck my hand up, flipped him a bird. And I'm like, I don't think he can catch me in this stuff. Cause I mean, I used to do some national enduros and I gave it all I had to get to the finish line and he didn't catch me. So we had a good laugh about that afterwards.
That's awesome.
Okay. So any changes to the race this year?
So the biggest change.
Okay.
Is we're going to do three laps instead of two.
Okay. Well, I only did one.
So you're going to get that first full lap, that first almost 17 miles.
Okay.
First lap, second lap, and third lap once you come through the finish line, you're going to dump back into the enduro cross section.
Oh, so you're going to miss that first.
You're going to miss that first half.
So no, that'd be nice.
Lap two will start at the enduro cross, right into stairway, and then start all the hard stuff right over for lap two and three.
Oh, that's very cool. Okay, so since you're also the scoring guy, how the hell do you figure that out?
That one's pretty easy with just a hard split that, you know, no one else goes back out in that first half of the course. So it's doing it that way is pretty manageable.
Okay. That's what in my head, you know, I don't know how you've got it all built. So it's hard for me to fathom, but you've obviously done it enough because you guys have had some screwy stuff you've done. So
yeah, there's been a couple races that have made me want to pull my hair out trying to make all the checkpoints and laps line up where they need to be, but we've been able to pull it off.
Okay. Well, and one interesting thing, not to jump ahead, but we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We'll come back to laps two and three is you're doing scoring at TKO this year.
Yes.
And I've heard what made me think about it was you were like, now they're asking, oh, can we do this? Oh, we could do that. So, you know, I know you've got your hands full with some stuff they're wanting to do.
Yeah. I've had a couple really good conversations with Sean and I'm really excited about it. I think TKO is going to be one of the best TKOs they've ever had.
Yeah, I think so. Having you guys come on board and them kind of welcoming you guys with open arms, and it's just good. Everyone's working together. So
yeah, exactly. And they've been great to deal with. Sean's been great. Eric's been great. I had a good chat with Eric this past weekend in Moab, and I'm excited. It's really going to bring more to the series, and it's such a special event.
Yep.
You know,
it needs to be part of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need this. And I know this year it's going to be, there's still going to be the AMA Grand National Championship and then that U.S. Hard Enduro Championship. So it's cool. It's going to be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a step forward and really, really brings a lot to the series. And hopefully, you know, the series brings just as much to them. And I think we will. We've been really trying to have a really dialed program.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so back to your race. So if you make one lap, which, again, all I did was one lap, I came in and got the checker flags. I wasn't upset about it after doing 2 days at Roar. So is there a time limit? I mean, because last year, like I said, I don't remember how long it took me to do that one lap, but y'all threw the flag, and I was okay with it.
Yeah, and we're going to do the same thing. I'm figuring if weather conditions are like they were last year, going to three laps, it's going to add an extra half an hour to 45 minutes to the leader's time. So I'm thinking the leaders are going to finish three laps between 3.5 and 4 hours.
Okay.
So we're going to throw a hard checkered on the leader. And then everyone that's still on course will have 6 hours to finish the lap they're on up to 6 hours. So,
okay. That sounds horrible, especially after doing Roar. I will say I quit Roar early because I knew I had to do your race the next day. So, but no, man, that's awesome. And it was, man, for the first time we did you guys did the Keystone Challenge, it couldn't have gone any better from an outsider. I don't know about behind the scenes, but
behind the scenes, you know, all the normal little headaches, but it's all stuff we expected and, you know, it all came together great. And we were excited to try and do it again. So,
and I know there was a lot of people that said, y'all, it's a lot of racing. You're jamming a bunch into one weekend. But again, I wouldn't have come back for your race if it would have been 2 weeks later. So for me, I got to do both of them and I'm glad I did. I mean, I was only sore for 3 or 4 days. So it'll be okay. You know, I'll live.
Yeah.
So, all right. Any changes? Cause last year you guys did some cool stuff with the points that if you race both of them, and you won them both, you got some extra points. Is that going to continue this year or anything like that going on?
As of right now, there's no plan to do any bonus points, but we are doing Keystone Challenge overall awards again. So, you know, top three overall get an award, top three amateurs, top three, I think, A's. You know, they're going to get a crossover award. Not sure exactly how we're going to do that yet, but most likely it's going to be like a moto type scoring.
Okay.
To do a combined overall.
Okay. Well, and last year there was talk of Let me see. How you finished Roar was how I was going to set the starting order for your race. But the way you described it earlier, it's just going to be a hair scramble start, line all the pros up and drop it. Okay.
Yeah.
So hence the hard hair scramble, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hard scramble. All right. All right. So three laps, any new sections? You mentioned one screw you that was after one of the up downs. Anything else out there to be looking for?
So we got screw you is going to be added after Green Acres. Okay. There is that new little waterfall section at the mill. That's just expanding on that section. There is a new section right after Plinko. So you go up Green Acres, drop down Screw mm-hmm. You, go back up to the top, ride a little bit of Enduro Trail across the top, and then drop down Plinko. Plinko was the last nasty downhill last year.
It was kind of through some dead pine trees. It was a big, long downhill. Yeah, I remember that. Yep. A lot of fresh. It was very fresh.
So you're going to drop all the way to the bottom of the creek. And then big change here for this year is we're actually going to have an over-under. So there's going to be a bridge at the bottom. You'll go over the bridge, cross the creek, cross the road. And then once you cross that haul road, there's a little section that we put in last year that we were calling throat punch, because after Tristan walked the course, he said it wasn't hard enough down there and he wanted another section. So we added in this little thing called throat punch. And actually, I think that's where Rob Moan was okay. standing. Giving away all your food.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because Jared, his son there was, he might have been a little intoxicated, and he'd gotten my chicken and my watermelon and his Topo Chicos. He was giving everything away up there. So okay, that's throat punch. I couldn't tell if that was Mossy Rocks you were talking about, but that I know Mossy Rocks is right out of that creek, that real hard chute.
Yes.
Okay.
That's Green Acres. Is that okay? That mossy section with all the ferns.
Okay, so throat punch. That was a little add-on. Perfect.
Yeah,
it was very fresh when we got there.
Yeah, so I actually expanded on throat punch. You actually go about another 100 yards up that shelf and then cut across and drop back down alongside it. So once you do the new section of throat punch, you're going to drop back down across the road to the creek and actually go under the bridge. Okay. Once you go under the bridge, there's a little concrete tube. Then you ride that out to final ascent, and then once you get up that hill, it's smooth sailing back to the finish line.
But it was, I remember after throat punch where Jarrett and all them were, we dropped down and we paralleled this creek, and there was like a couple of big logs on like an angle that didn't have any bark on them. And I just got there, and I think it was one of those step off and kind of throw the bike over and just let it skid across them. Oh, but right when you said that, I was like, oh, it's all coming back.
Yeah, you got that nice, like, off camber rock shelf with the logs at weird angles across it. Yep.
That was, and it was just one more thing of just like, oh, I thought I'm done. So, all right. Well, Mikey, what else you want to talk about? So, the new role's kicking off here, I guess, next weekend. We're recording this on Friday, the 19th. So, we've got actually a week from today, we'll be together in North Carolina.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm excited for GOATS. It's going to be a really great event this year and hopefully kick off a really strong East Coast season. We got GOATS followed up by River Monster, then the Keystone Challenge, which is Tough Like Roar and Locked and Loaded. Then we shoot back to the West Coast for Donner.
Yep.
And then we're going to wrap up the Premier Series at TKO in August. And then we'll kick off the second half of the East Regional Series.
Because you guys updated it, like the schedule I've got, and I was about to look at it. It's got some TBDs in there.
Yeah, so the updated schedule is Quinn Wenzel's race, Lightning Strikes, September 14th and 15th in Ohio.
Okay.
Buffalo Riders Extreme, that's just an exhibition this year, but that's September 29th.
Okay, that's JoJo's race, wasn't it?
That's JoJo's race, yep. Okay. That's another amazing, amazing property. Really great course. His fall round, the course property was absolutely spectacular.
I need, it's like 14 hours for me. I need to bite the bullet and just go.
Yeah, it was a solid 19 hour drive for me. Oh, so
you win.
It was rough.
Yeah.
But it was well worth it. That place was awesome. And then we have Mad Moose back on the schedule this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
October 12th.
Jarrett and Mona and I were talking about that, and he said he's going. And I looked, and it's my kid's fall break, and we always go to the beach in Florida, and it's already booked. And I was like, no, can we go north?
Yeah.
Let's forget the beach.
Just bring them all to Michigan.
Yeah, let's take them all. It's beautiful in the fall, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So I keep interrupting.
No, you're good. And then we wrap up the fall series in Ohio at Fallen Timbers on October 27th. So It's really an awesome, awesome East Coast schedule this year.
Yeah, we've got a big schedule. So super glad we've got more races, and I think it's going to be good. The other thing I'm excited about is we've got some parity at the top after 2 years of Tristan winning everything. Now Cody's kind of putting his foot down and saying, "Hey, we're gonna make a championship out of it."
Yeah, Cody's really riding well this year, and had one little beatdown in Hawaii, but he's been really, really pushing hard, and he looks great on the bike, and it seems to all be clicking for him.
Well, and we've said it on here before. We kind of struck a deal with him for him to come on after the races and talk about him. And after Hawaii, we're like, I'm not calling Cody. I don't want to talk to him about that.
I'm still dying to go. I saw a lot of his helmet cam video when we were in Hawaii and didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I'm like itching now to get on his training platform and watch the whole thing, because
yeah,
it's probably epic.
Well, and it was funny because he was sending us clips of it, of just like he wanted to get his hands on it just because he's like, man, I looked like, you know, a beginner out there. And he said it was hilarious looking at some of the stuff. So he good for him to be humble enough to put it out there that, man, he just got his, you know what, kicked.
Yeah.
So, but all right. Well, Mikey, I mean, I'm excited. I actually have got the camper here at the house. We're getting it ready. I'm not racing, but I think my son and I and Jared are coming over, like I said, next Friday. And so unless you got anything else, I think that's it.
A couple things to touch on for Keystone. Pre-entry is open for both events. We are allowing camping at the Sugarloaf property during the week. So if guys want to come out early, camp in Sugarloaf and, you know, run their pickup truck or van, whatever, over to Roar.
It's, I highly recommend that.
15, 20 minutes away. Yeah. We got a beautiful level grass field to park in. I think there's some full hookup spots still available.
Okay.
If you check out our Instagram, the link's on there to get with the landowner if you want a full hookup. He's got a couple left. And then dry camping. There's more than enough to.
Yeah. Wow. It's a phenomenal property. Hey, the other question, someone texted me earlier about Battle of the Goats sign up. Do they have to pre-register or can they sign up at the race?
No, they could sign up at the race.
Okay. I'm sure you'd prefer them to pre-register, but I think they were on the fence of.
Yeah. It's definitely easier if they do their series registration online and then pre-enter for the race online. But we will be set up Friday afternoon at Goats doing registration, and then Saturday morning for a little while we'll have registration open as well. So
okay, that's awesome. And I was looking at the weather and it was showing rain Friday and Saturday so far, and I stopped looking. I'm like, I don't even want to go now. I'm going anyway, so it doesn't matter. So the Keystone Challenge, and like you said, parking at Roar is pretty nasty. So I didn't realize you guys were only 15-20 minutes away. That's awesome.
Yeah it's only 15 minutes, 20. If there's some traffic, you got to go the long way. Sunday night at the Sugarloaf property, we're actually going to have a spaghetti dinner like we did last year. So for all the racers. So anybody, when they're, you know, get packed up at Roar, they can head over to Sugarloaf and get some pasta on us and
get some rest. So chocolate milk, one of the things y'all are giving away, or one of the awards thing, was chocolate milk from the dairy farm down the road?
Yeah, I heard the ice cream. Yeah, the Milk House Creamery,
yeah,
which is right down the road. I think we're going to do that again this year. We're going to get going to get milk for the podium. Everybody seemed to love that. So,
oh, I drank that entire thing and I had a stomachache. Yeah. Shocker, right? Like I was just
running my mouth. We weren't the only one.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just popped those quarts of milk open and just chugged them.
It was ice cold. It was so good after that. But yeah, I need to get some ice cream. Since I'm not racing this year, I've got an excuse. Yeah. I can go eat the ice cream. All right, Mikey. Well, man, hey, thanks for your time. Congratulations on the new role. I hope you're still enjoying it come the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
All right, guys. Well, hey, hopefully we'll see everyone at Battle of the Goats next weekend. And if not, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.